Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
When it comes to our own Woj bomb sounds, I guess we're sorry, but we're not really sorry. Par for the course here at ESPN. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come look at us on ESPN Plus, Janae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. And I feel like I've been lying to y'all. First and foremost, we are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. I am very candid, and this is a very safe space for me here at ESPN Radio. Y'all who have been with us since August 17th, baby, in 2020, know that I always spill my own tea. And so we started the show, and I couldn't be on ESPN Plus for about 10 minutes because I had to get my track sewn in the back because your girl got to look good, and I didn't have enough time coming from practice. So I want to give a big shout-out to my sis Vita, who's holding me down. Who holds me down 24-7, making sure this hair looks good for a girl leaving practice and coming on air. And, you know, we wanted to give her 10 more minutes so I didn't look crazy. So that is the truth, Junior. Did you notice that when you saw me in the return video, though?
I didn't actually see you in that video. I only saw you coming out over the feed that you guys can check on ESPN Plus. So we just saw the stunning product that was on the other side of this. So shout out to her for holding it down here. Listen, this is a team sport. Radio, TV, it is all a team sport, just like basketball. And so if we're all trying to win, we got to work together. And that's all that was.
Wait, are you going to shout out your hair person that holds you?
So to be clear, I got to walk up. Really? We're going to give her the rim shot for that low-hanging fruit? I got to walk into Highly Questionable every day and get roasted by Bamani, who is the one who told me, come home to the rest of the group of bald men here, and then grows luxurious locks during the quarantine, and now I got to come get shamed by you guys here while Janae just gets fine hair done before this show. This is the world I got to live in.
Your hair does look a little long these days. I mean, at least when I can see on the sides.
Listen, I get a little lazy sometimes. Like, I don't always want to shave it.
I love you.
Down.
You look good. You're summertime fine, okay? You're summertime fine.
So all anyway, right, Kendrick Nunn to the Lakers. Crazy.
No, first.
Man,
okay,
okay,
yeah, Kendrick Nunn. That's what you're anyway to get my, like, attention. Like, good luck.
It's great signing for them.
Was it a two-year $10 million deal? All right,
apparently left money on the table, too, to come win a championship with the Lakers. He sees the writing on the wall here, Chiney. We're not going to talk
about
my hair anymore.
The bald eagle left? Two from the Lakers? Did you hear about that, Junior? Or no? Your cousin?
Remember you.
They're going to love him in Chicago. He's out there with the Bulls now. Him, Lonzo Ball, that headband is going places.
I know. I feel really bad. Like, anytime I say Bull, I just think of Philly, and I blame Cliff for all of that. All right? So we're going to get to free agency in a second because I have an interesting thing. You talked about, you know, their new acquisition, the Los Angeles Lakers, that sort of made our timelines collectively explode on social media. But in a few minutes, Junior, we're going to have a really good conversation because we all know that not only is it NBA free agency, but also the NFL, you know, season is going on with training camp. And there's a lot of interesting sound that we're getting and reaction per vaccinations. And so in about 10 minutes, we will discuss a prominent NFL coach sounding off on that status. But Junior, when we were in the break and I was looking on my timeline again, free agency started yesterday. And the Lakers, we all have our eyes on them because they bounced out of the playoffs early. Now, mind you, everyone, this playoff was really difficult for especially aging teams, teams with limited turnaround as well. 71 days between the last season and this season. Shout out to the Milwaukee Bucks for like winning, because not only was the Lakers championship very important, Junior, because they did it in the middle of a pandemic and the social justice movement that was going on and advocating, like, so many things going on. Lakers won, but you can argue that the Milwaukee Bucks, that was a difficult championship as well, coming off the heels of that. Now we look at the Lakers. All right, how are they going to retool, especially with free agency? You ready for this, Junior? All right, Talen Horton-Tucker, 20 years old. Malik Monk, 23 years old. Kendrick Nunn, 26 years old. Anthony Davis, 28 years old, and then we're in the 30 club. Kent Bazemore, 32. Ellington, 33. Dwight, 35. Howard, who just joined the Lakers again. Trevor Ariza, 36. Powell. Oh, my gosh. No, I went Powell instead of Mark.
Oh, wow.
By the way, I saw Mark and Powell in Vegas when I was training with the Nigerian national team. Those guys are amazing.
Mark, by the way, who I know Spain just lost to Team USA, said he is not retiring, so he's coming back to be part of this geriatric group.
Oh, he said he's not retiring because I know that Luis Scola did retire for Argentina. And as a young girl who grew up watching the Houston Rockets in Texas and watched that Rocket squad with Luis Scola, like, shout out to that man for changing the game for Argentina and beyond. So Mark Gasol, 36, LeBron, 36, and Melo. Again, we've got ages 20, 23, 26, 28, then 32, 33, 35, 36, 36, 36, 37. What? God. Okay, you talk for like a minute while I do the averages.
All right, yeah, you know, figure out the average age of this team that's going to qualify for a lot of breakfast specials when they go on the road.
Wow.
I'd say this, Janae. So the Lakers kind of embody what I think we saw the general theme of NBA free agency this year was looking around at last season that you mentioned was a chaos ball. The last two seasons have been a chaos ball that most people were trying to survive. And what did we learn during last year's postseason? The two teams we had standing left at the end, the Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks, both did so going through a gauntlet of teams that were very badly injured, more so than we've ever seen in an NBA postseason in the league's history. And so what does that tell most people? If you were close, you can stand pat and stay close. So that's why Chris Paul stays in Phoenix with the Suns, because they're close. That's why we saw a lot of guys running it back with the Brooklyn Nets team that's getting ready to rebound after an injury-riddled season. The Miami Heat made probably the biggest splash of an outside player bringing in Kyle Lowry, but everyone else has kind of been, all right, let's run this back. And so for the Lakers, Chanae, I look at this old roster and say, you had a definite need. Space LeBron with shooters and hope that him and Anthony Davis get healthy. Because we saw 2 years ago, when those guys are healthy at the core of this, you got a chance, so much so that they were favored against that Suns team in the first round.
Agreed. And my calculations show that the average age is just 31, which actually shocks me. But they got to shout out Malik Monk and Talen Horton-Tucker, because that 20 and 23, if you remove it, you've got everyone 26, 28, and then everyone else is 30 and above.
Dear
which
God.
Is nuts.
It is crazy. This team would be going off in 2008, by the way. Kanye's Graduation just came out here. The LAARP crowd, shout out to our producer, Jerry.
Sharp-ish.
Who's already showing you that Photoshop is one of his passions and making this happen for the Los Angeles Lakers. Janae, Dwight Howard won the dunk contest in 2008. Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James were lighting up scoreboards as young players around the league. All I'm saying is Mama, this squad is going to make us all nostalgic as hell. But Janae, can it actually win?
Yes. I'm good. That's what LeBron James thinks every time he wakes up. Okay, I'm good. He is good. He's great. He's arguably one of the greatest. If not, some people think he is the greatest, but we're not going to do that today right now. If the stars align, which they are bound to because that's what the city is all about, Los Angeles, where I'm currently sitting. If the stars align, this is a squad. When you have LeBron James and you have Anthony Davis at full strength, Junior, the Lakers always have a shot, okay? Now, the problem, though, is that the list that I read, Carmelo being 37, you've got Marc Gasol at 36. I love Trevor Ariza, but he's 36 as well. Dwight Howard won a championship and now came back. Like, you have Russell Westbrook, who I'm excited about, but, like, there's no guarantees based on the direction. All right, we have this team that has guys that, like you said, if this was 2008, when did we say that in our commercial break? If this was 2008, 2009, we'd be like, oh, this squad is balling, all-star squad, right? The way the NBA is moving, so many young stars are doing it themselves or finding ways to win on their own or tag teaming with guys that are developing. Like, the game is changing, and it's awesome because we have all these, you know, ideas like, who is the face of the NBA? We don't need one anymore because there are multiple on different teams with different storylines, and that's the best case scenario for the NBA, which makes the competition for, even though you have like a guy with 10 all-star appearances, 15 all-star appearances, like those things don't matter as much as they did before because these young guys are playing like those type of caliber players in their prime. And so, yeah, we're living in two different worlds right now. The one where we're celebrating LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony being on the same squad with Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook. Like, let that sink in. But then you've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, homegrown superstar, megastar, winning an NBA championship after developing within the backyards of Milwaukee. So it's going to be interesting to see where things converge, or, you know, will it be a team that meets in the middle? Will it be that young squad? Will it be that veteran, you know, savvy squad? Who knows? I do like the intrigue. I'm here for the intrigue.
And there's definite intrigue with this team, Shanae. The question is going to be, can a roster this old survive an entire regular season and postseason run after a year where we saw LeBron James get injured? Like, the one thing that I look at for this team, Shanae, is what this signifies. These are all veteran minimum one-year rentals for the most part. And so this is a squad that very much sees, and Rob Pelinka, I know, can make magic. He made magic here with a lot of these deals, getting guy like Kendrick Nunn to come and play for less and fill out this roster. But all it says to me is they recognize that LeBron James is kind of on a series of 1 and 2 year leases from here on out, because we saw him finally look a little human in the last 3 years. Two of them have ended with injury derailing this season around their star player. He's not getting any younger, and so they've got to try and just absolutely max load this with a bunch of guys that are on the same timeline, and then they'll figure it out after all that. Yep. So LeBron and this Lakers team going old to try and see if they can go long and win this upcoming NBA season. Plenty more moves in NBA free agency that we can talk about with Vinny Goodwill from Yahoo Sports in about 20 minutes coming up on this show. But coming up next, we got an NFL coach who is mad about nothing that has to do with what his team is doing on the field. We'll get to that next here. Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I feel bad for the podcast listeners because they're going to listen to my weak attempt at a whistle. But the good news is, in a few minutes, we will be speaking with Vincent Goodwill of the Yahoo senior NBA writer to break down everything that's been going on today. Some interesting twists and turns in NBA free agency. But first, Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chenan Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. Now, we always pump Chenan Golic Jr., our podcast. You can listen to all 3 hours on the podcast network. But also, don't forget to tune into Chenan Podcast, hosted by your girl, yours truly, and fueled by Gatorade. We truly appreciate their continued support of women's sports journalists and athletes right here at ESPN and everywhere. So whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with G. So, oh, and you know what else starts with G? Golic Jr. Okay.
Yeah. Golic. I'm not saying that's there's it. A direct correlation, but I'm not saying there
greatness,
isn't either.
Greatness, Golic, and Gatorade all in one place. Chenan Golic Jr. Yeah.
By the way, for what it's worth, best Gatorade comes in a can. That's just free advice for everyone out there. If you
now,
haven't
this
had
is where
Gatorade,
we start fighting. I know the theme of today's show has been all about fighting and training camp and all that type of stuff. Like, bro, I've never drank Gatorade in a can. The best Gatorade, how about this, comes in a bottle with all those like little bumps on it so you can hold your fingers.
Oh, that's the grippies on there. That's the one that's got like the twist, the top you got to like twist open.
Yes,
the valve
orange
top.
That you, yeah, like that. Yeah, that was the one where like if you had that going to your workouts, oh, you were showing out.
Chenan,
like,
I totally get it. And for the people that have not been down the can road, that should absolutely 100% be your number one. But once you've been on a hot sideline in like early September and been handed an ice cold canned Gatorade that someone pops and puts into your hands, I literally stared directly into the face of God. The God of your choosing is on the other side of that can.
I have a correlation for that cold beverage, but, you know, turning into adult, but I'll leave that for the commercial break. Junior, can you sort of take me behind the scenes, especially considering, you know, your family's pedigree within the NFL, and there's a lot of challenges going into this season. While we might be happier that we get more normalcy, it seems like there are a lot of people pushing against the seams when it comes to health moving forward and the implications of the vaccines and what that could look for a team. And I think Mike Zimmer brought this all to a T. Junior.
Yeah, no, I thought TV was going to play some sound right there. This was Mike Zimmer. How about this? Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer has been wildly frustrated with the team. And we'll get to the specific numbers as to what he is frustrated about, because the NFL put out another round of its COVID-19 vaccination numbers today. This was Mike Zimmer dealing with his entire quarterback room. Kirk Cousins, Kellen Mond, three quarterbacks sidelined on the COVID-19 list. Here was a frustrated Zim.
I am disappointed that this happened. I'm frustrated with not just my football players that won't get vaccinated. I'm frustrated with everybody. We just do the best we can, and it's disappointing.
So we heard disappointing. Mike Zimmer is like an old school eat glass football guy, Shanae. Like, that guy is not about it. So anything that to him is a competitive disadvantage is going to ping on the radar like this. He's frustrated, and you can understand why, because this is where we're at with the numbers right now, Shanae. As of today, Tuesday in this week, 90% of players have at least one dose of the vaccine.
Okay.
Nine teams have at least 95% of their players partially vaxxed, and 27 teams are at 85-plus in that vaccination process. The Minnesota Vikings have the lowest vaccination rate in the league. They're at 70% in the process with 64.5% fully vaccinated. And, Janae, we're going to continue to see frustrated coaches until those numbers get higher because we know the last thing they want at this time of year where they thought they were going to get a more normal training camp experience is disruptions like this to their getting ready to the season.
Yeah, I mean, and when those disruptions turn into actual games where forfeitures might happen, you know, that's what you're trying to avoid. You're trying to get your team in the mindset of like, hey, like these are the real life implications. It's not just training camp. Imagine when we get into September, October, you know, it's going to be difficult for them to have to negotiate all of that while also deal with just playing football. And so it's crazy that these frustrations are happening so early, but it is necessary because the urgency is going to come quicker than they think. And Junior, the last thing I'll say here on the vaccinations is it's interesting. And I don't want to like play the game of like I play in the WNBA and like compare the leagues because they are hard to compare. You know, a league predominantly full of black women, 144, a limited group. So I understand the different contingencies, you know, that each league has. But there is great communication from our players ahead of seasons knowing that, all right, we're all going to get on the Zoom and there's going to be about 5-6 Zooms that you have an option to get on because we don't assume everyone's free at all times. But we have updates and we have communication saying, like, these are the plans. And I'm sure the NFLPA is trying to do the same thing. And just it's harder with a wider pool of people, right? But, like, our league has made sure that we educate as much as we can and also educate on the consequences because that can also help you in these instances as well.
Yeah, and I know that's been at the core when the NFL rolled out its policies, education on a lot of these fronts, on what was available to you, the information. We've heard of Ron Rivera for the Washington football team bringing in COVID-19 experts to try and talk to his team. One of the things also being communicated right now, and this is going to be an interesting one to watch for a lot of people as far as how this season goes responding to COVID because we know things are changing. There's the Delta variant out there. There's a lot of these things. Then the conversation around even vaccinated people being able to carry more of the virus than before. J.C. Treader, who's the head of the NFL Players Association, actually said the PA is in conversation with the league. Right now, vaccinated players would be tested once every 14 days. J.C. and the PA say they want that number closer to 5. That's up for debate. But the idea is, hey, we want to do right. We've heard, listen, Cole Beasley and some of the other guys who have been loudly wrong, I think, in public about their stance on a lot of this, have pointed out that they think vaccinated players can still pass on the virus. J.C. Treader and them are basically saying, yes, we're getting new information and we agree. This is something we want to monitor because the end goal for everyone is to get out there and be able to play as much football as possible because guys are feeding their family off of this, coaching staffs and organizations are. That is what the NFL has made abundantly clear is you are not going to mess up our cash in this process. We are going to keep this thing airtight. And Chiney, it seems like we're getting some movement in that direction. The Washington football team was at around 60% vaccination as of last week. As of today, they are at 84% of that team has at least one dose of the vaccine. Now that puts them 29th in the league, but it's still a step forward as people get into training camp and I think figure out, hey, life's going to be pretty difficult if we don't have this ironed out.
Yeah, and the availabilities of training camp might actually change how people perceive it, and that's why you see those numbers changing, people inclining to get it. But yeah, I do think it's quite fascinating to see how different leagues handle these situations. And like you mentioned, I do love that the NFLPA is pushing for more testing, because if the number one scenario that we're all trying to avoid is, you know, games and the overall season going haywire based on the loss of games per, you know, the lack of vaccination or the transference of a Delta variant or coronavirus in general, then yeah, getting more testing, while it might be more annoying, it might be the preventative measure that even the NFL might say, oh, we're not sure. But if the players are pushing this, then they're pushing in the right direction.
Yeah, everyone's got the same thing on their mind at this point. We'll see if we get to that. As again, updated COVID numbers for the NFL out, moving in the right direction, still not there yet. Coming up next, though, NBA free agency has continued to move. Which teams found the right direction? Which teams have really improved their chances of being more competitive in the postseason in 2022? We'll get to that next here. Janae Angle Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angle Jr., the podcast.
Yes, shout out to our TV division for the amazing scenics of Los Angeles at night. It is gorgeous, and that's where I'm at now. There are big paydays happening, not only in the NBA, another payday in the world of sports that you have to hear about. Some nice finances happening in football. Good Lord! Junior, do you want to coach? Chinee Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN+. Plus. Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, before we have fun with the football money, let's wrap things up on NBA free agency. And to do so, we are very delighted to be joined right now by Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo. He's a senior writer, NBA writer out there, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Vinny, how you doing? And first and foremost, I know you are a Detroit native, but you did spend some time covering the Chicago Bulls. And a lot of people yesterday said I was like, oh, well, I kind of like what they did, getting Lonzo, and then now they add DeMar DeRozan. What do you think of the Chicago Bulls after free agency?
They'll be interesting, if nothing else. I don't know what it's going to look like on the floor as far as how the basketball works and how much defense they have and everything else. But, you know, they're acting like a big-time organization. They're not being cheap. You know, they shed a lot of money. And for not only DeMar DeRozan, but you also got to think Nikola Vucevic is on an existing pretty sizable contract. And then you still may possibly have to take care of Zach LaVine if he's still in the future plan. So I like just the audacity of it. I don't know how it works, but I like the fact that the Bulls are actively behaving like a big market, big boy franchise.
That does seem to kind of be the theme of NBA free agency right now. I don't know if it'll work, but I respect it. Does that apply to the Los Angeles Lakers, who we know brought over Russell Westbrook, but now are trotting out, they've been called online the LAARP lineup, adding Carmelo Anthony as well to that group.
This
does it
new
work?
Old lineup.
You know what this is? If you were old enough to be on NBA Live when NBA Live was making video games, you are going to be on the Los Angeles Lakers, and you're going to be signed to some money. No, I think anytime LeBron James doesn't win a title, he comes back with a vengeance. Like, you see player LeBron in the regular season, and we're seeing GM LeBron right now, where it's playing with him, it's playing for the Lakers franchise that is always going to be attracted to a lot of guys. I'm really not sure about how all of this is going to work. Where's the defense? Where's the shooting? Where's the youth? Where's the dexterity? Where's the young legs? Like, those are questions that I have. But I think what we're seeing is everybody looked at the NBA Finals and said, oh, we can get there next year. No matter what side of the conference aisle you're on, you're looking at it and saying, okay, I can respect what Milwaukee's doing. I can respect what Phoenix is doing. But we got money to spend, and let's go out here and go for it. And there's nothing more I hate than the punk GMs who say, we can't compete, we can't do it. So the fact that all these teams are actually going for it, they're putting resources, they're not holding on or hoarding the draft picks and everything else, they're saying, let's go out here and let's get it. I can respect that, if nothing else, and especially the Lakers, who know they only have a few years left of prime or good enough LeBron or healthy Anthony Davis or whatever this is with Russell Westbrook. Like, I can admire just the audacity of what they're doing. I just have no clue if they're actually going to need it.
The audacity. We love it. Vincent Goodwill, Yahoo senior NBA writer, joining us here on Chinee Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio. And you know what might have forced their hand? That NBA play-in tournament where it's like, oh, we just got to get in there. And when we get in there, we can make some noise. Look at Atlanta. See what Atlanta did? I love how they sort of take from the past, even though it's recent. Now, we've covered some major cities. We've covered Chicago, Vincent. We've covered Los Angeles. And now I'm going to move to Miami. What are your thoughts on them acquiring Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker?
Well, you said Miami like they're a minor market. I don't know if you've ever been to Miami or seen their movies, Sinead, but let me tell you, Miami is a very fun place to be in late May and early June. And clearly they're trying to look out for all of us sports writers who had to spend a decent portion of our time in July in wonderful, beautiful Milwaukee. And they're just trying to make it up to us by saying, hey, come to South Beach in early June for the finals next year, because we got experience, we got bodies, and we got, like, guys that are just rough riders. I like the fact that they went out and got Kyle Lowry. Like, the biggest thing for Lowry was who was going to guarantee him that third year. You know, with him at his age, 34, 35, you're not really sure how those guys are going to age, especially smaller guys. So Chris Paul getting the Phoenix Suns to the finals was a big boon for a guy like Kyle Lowry and a big boon for the point guard position as itself. I think that he looked at it and said, look, man, we were embarrassed in the first round, and Pat Riley likes going forward all the time.
and we still got Jimmy Butler in his prime. They extended him. You still got Bam. So I like what they've done, and I still like the fact that Eric Spoelstra is a solid, solid head coach, and I don't doubt them. Like, I would not be surprised if we hear Brooklyn and Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals this time next season, or, you know, in, I guess, 9 months from now.
Hey, we'll take those cities, though. We will take those cities.
Definitely a nice,
as will I.
Listen, we appreciate the warmth that South Beach provides. I want to hit one more team. We talk about big markets and people operating like a big boy team. Does that describe the New York Knicks this offseason, who handed out multi-year deals for the first time since 2018, basically running back last year's squad?
Well, you got to have some assets if you want to trade for Damian Lillard, right?
Ooh.
Oh, I mean, I didn't mean to say that out loud. My bad. I forgot we was on actual live radio out here. I'm just saying, is that not what it looks like? If you have to wind up making that type of move, don't you have to have guys who can play in the meantime and contracts that can sort of match up? And, I mean, to be practical, you need guys who can play for Tom Thibodeau. You need guys who don't complicate the game. Evan Fournier, as much as he's been, you know, an up-and-down player, you know, Scott Perry was in Orlando when he was drafted. That's one of the big reasons why he's there. And although things didn't work out in Boston, this was an odd year all the way around. You had COVID, you had no fans and everything else. I think it was kind of a topsy-turvy kind of year to sort of evaluate these guys. I think if nothing else, Fournier is a guy that can shoot and can get his shot. And if you're playing for Tom Thibodeau, that's one thing that's usually going to be lacking, because he ain't going to have a whole bunch of offensive guys there. That's usually going to be a rough and rugged sort of team. That's what the Knicks were this year. They had Julius Randle, Derrick Rose closing games, and not much else in the way of offense. So having a guy like Fournier in the meantime, regardless of what may or may not happen as far as Damian Lillard, you still need guys that can score, because you know the structure of the team is going to lend itself to playing tough and physical basketball. I think he'll fit in just fine there. And the Knicks are actually, you know, they're competent. They're not doing anything crazy. They've been pretty competent for the past few years, despite, you know, not getting KD and Kyrie and all that type of stuff. They've still been pretty competent the past couple of years. And now you just wonder, do they have enough to take the next step? Because the Eastern Conference as a whole, at least at the top of the Eastern Conference, is continuously getting better. You're not going to sneak your way to the NBA Finals, maybe like you would have 5 or 6 years ago.
Vinny, I'm just laughing because you mentioned Damian Lillard and Evan Fournier in a similar sentence, and I just come to like the Summertime Olympics quote where he's like, man, we got dudes overseas, over here, playing international basketball, acting different, looking different. And I think it's a compliment, but I thought it was funny. That was a bar by Dame, and everyone was laughing, so.
It was definitely a bar by Dame. He's not used to that that foreign pride that Ricky Rubio scoring 40 points, but he can't score 40 points in a week in the NBA.
We're used to bars from Damian Lillard, if nothing else. Like, that is a very common phrase. So we're used to that. We're used to the audacity. Vincent Goodwill, check him out at Vince Goodwill on Twitter. Read him at Yahoo Sports. Vinny, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon,
man.
Hey, you guys take it easy. Thanks again.
Janae, he said it, and I know I heard Stephen A. Smith actually on First Take bring this up the other day. I mean,
sorry.
Instead of listen, I'll let Stephen A. speak for himself here. Hold on 1 second.
Go ahead.
If Damian Lillard wants out of Portland, and I'm not sure he does yet, his number one choice is going to be the New York Knicks.
Ooh, really?
Heard it right here.
Ooh, inside scoop.
His number one choice is going to be the New York Knicks.
Ooh.
Now, not over Portland. He's trying to stay there if it can work out. But if he decides to leave, I'm betting the house. Ooh. It's the New York Knicks that he'll want to go to. Now, if you're the New York Knicks.
Couple houses.
Where's the camera?
Steve, there you go.
Leon Rose. Worldwide West, William Wesley. Scott Perry. Tom Thibodeau. I don't want to hear cap space and picks. You give Portland what the hell they asked for.
Janae, I mean, Stephen A. is always just the right amount of connected still as an NBA reporter to make you think, all right.
I knew that 2 weeks ago. Go to break.
All right, coming up next here. When I say the man has got his own money, I mean the man has got his own money.
Yes.
Hero at the Bank shows up in college football again next on ESPN Radio.
Coming up tomorrow on the Max Kellerman Show. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. As our countdown to the NFL season continues, Justin Herbert. Tomorrow at 2:10 Eastern with Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Man, I really love our crew here. It's always a good time for us here on Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And before we get to keeping that same energy, got a big, you know, big shout out to everyone that came through today. Monica McNutt, our own ESPN basketball analyst. Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider. And also make sure you check out that podcast with John Lynch. Vincent Goodwill was just here with us, Yahoo senior NBA writer. So many different topics, whether it is the fights that have happened in training camp in the NFL to NBA free agency and those that are getting paid. But I say all this because we love everyone that joins us, but our regular crew here, we were just having the most interesting conversation about, like, don't you just feel like your phone listens to you sometimes because you open it up and it's everything that you were just talking about, all up on your Explore page, all up on your Google search, whatever that is. And so Junior said, all right, I want to try to figure out if I can play my phone, like, give me something weird. And I proceeded to say broccoli, and Cliff said mothballs.
Well, Janae, in his defense, I feel like if we're looking for something that could be the source of targeted advertising, because that's what it's about. It's all terrifying.
Tell me you're
like,
African without saying you're African.
What
is that? The first word that comes out of your mouth is mothballs.
Man, I was not aware that that was something that was skewed along racial lines here. Is mothballs something that is uniquely African?
Not really, but like it's also cultural because like when people, like when you pack in your bags, like it's just one of those things that you put, you know, it's just something cultural that
Listen,
you like. It's more in our repertoire of conversation when it comes to moving around. You know, so
that's fine. We can say mothballs is something that's a little bit excluded from my community. All I know is, as someone who has still got bats in my attic, and again, this has been like 2 year saga of me with these damn bats. I was told that apparently mothballs are something that bats are not into. And so if you're looking to keep bats from coming to living in your house right now, because I got bat roommates until September, because bats got more rights than anybody I know, and you can't move them until then, mothballs are a good way to go.
Apparently skunks don't like mothballs either. Thank you, Shannon Penn, for telling us this. But like, I just learned today, I'm today years old or young, that I learned that you have bats in your house.
We can have another longer conversation about this, Chinee, to explain this to you, but right now we got to keep
like,
that same energy.
You sleep good at night? You sleep well at night? Well, that's play the music, cue it.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chinee and Golic Jr.
Bro, you be living comfortably.
No, I don't be living comfortably. I don't sleep well at all. I live in a constant state of terror because bats live in my attic. I can hear them walking around.
Like you could have called like the bat exterminator to come pull up
Chinee?
And fix it, but you're perfectly fine with just like, I just got them in my home. Like, no.
No, Chinee, bats have rights. You cannot.
No, they don't. Not in my crib, but that's the difference between you and me, boo-boo.
No, there's not a difference. I'm telling you, bat extermination is not a thing. You got to move them out of the house, and you can only do it in certain months, because right now, they're up having babies in my attic, and you can't
you
move them while they're
that,
having babies.
Huh? You love that. That's exactly what you plan for.
My God, keeping that same energy. Simone Biles returns to gymnastics for the balance beam in Tokyo, wins a bronze. Chinee, she won bronze also in 2016 during that Olympics in Rio here.
Rio,
great finish for someone who had to pull out for multiple events, cited mental health, the twisties, all these things that we learn more about during the games.
And also, you know, the silver lining here is that I think six different individuals medaled in the interim of her being out. So, like, other people's dreams were coming true while she put other people first in the team first. And so, and then also got a bronze medal, you know, so.
And you know what? And put herself first, which is totally fine in here. Herself and her safety over the course of this game.
Yep.
So congrats to Simone Biles on a finish to another stellar games for her with bronze in the balance beam. We also had in the Olympics version of keeping that same energy, men's basketball team meet Spain to move on to the semis in that round here. But Chinee, I got to get to this money that we were talking about here.
Yeah.
Nick Saban turns 70 in October, Alabama's head coach. He's going to make $8.7 million this year. They have approved a contract extension for Nick Saban through 2028 that is going to increase his salary $400,000 annually. He will be paid an average of $10.6 million a year over the lifetime of that contract, with the final year coming in at $11.5 million. And Chinee, I know we talk about all the time the money that should be going towards the kids. Nick Saban's worth every penny of that money.
He absolutely is. Coach, do you want to start coaching, Junior? Like, I feel like we should just make this transition. And if you do and you start making money, we're getting married. That's it. Okay?
All right.
That's
you know what? Money. That's a fair point, Shanae. Sadly, we won't get to worry about that at all.
Actually, we're not, based on the way you keep your house with the bats. So, no. This ain't happening.
You know what? Me and the bats are a discussion for another day. I hope they understand the separation between church and state. They stay in the attic. I live down here, which is exactly how we talked to Spain and Fitz. They live in the attic above us. Next, here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.